So we praise God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, it takes his hand, it takes his power, it takes his grace. We do not take it for granted. And you know, today we just want to carry on with our teaching and with our Bible study. We're in the book of Acts chapter 4. And we are seeing the place where Peter and John are arrested. And you would wonder, why would you arrest someone after preaching? Why would you arrest someone after healing a lame man that was born lame from the mother's womb, and for 40 years the man was lame? They have done what is called a notable miracle, and this is what the scripture tells us today, that they had done a notable miracle. And no one could deny it. And for me, what stands out for me is just a reminder that Jesus spoke to his disciples, and maybe we'll start with there with Luke chapter 12. And this is really what Jesus taught his disciples, that a time will come when you shall be brought before kings, you shall be brought before, you know, the council, you shall be brought before rulers. You shall be brought before the Sanhedrin. You know, and maybe if we read those verses, Luke chapter 12, we'll look at two parts, Luke chapter 12, and we'll also look at the other verses in Matthew that speak on the same, and then we shall come back to Acts chapter 4. Now, in Luke chapter 12, verse 8 to 12, the Bible says, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven." Verse 11, now, which is our key verse, "Now they will bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities. Do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Now look at what the Bible is saying, that they're going, not even that if they bring you before synagogues and magistrates, the Bible says, Jesus told his disciples, now, when? That means that it is going to happen. We should expect it. And it happened for the apostles. It says, now, when? That means it's an assurity. You know, English, when it says when, it means it's a matter of time. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. That means that God is telling you that don't worry about being brought before rulers, being brought before magistrates, being brought before the synagogue, how or what you will answer or how what you will say. But the Bible says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you what will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. That means at that moment, when you are just brought there, the Holy Spirit will start to teach you. And as you open your mouth, then you will have understanding, you will have an impartation, you will have doctrine, and you will have the right instruction of what to say. The word they are teaching is didasko, which means instruction, which means to, you know, like to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them, to deliver didactic discourses. That means that it will be so detailed that even you yourself will ask yourself, where did this learning or understanding come from? Now, if you look at how Matthew puts it in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, let's read from verse 16. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues." That means beware of men, be careful. I mean, be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. That means that there is wisdom needed on when to speak, where to speak, who to speak. But also know that be careful that what will men do? They will deliver you up to councils, and these councils will scourge you. That means you might go through some beatings in their synagogues. And the Bible says you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for the sake of Christ, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. And then the Bible says, but when they deliver you up, remember it's not if, when, that means it's a matter of time. When they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that very hour. In that hour, what you should speak. And I love how Matthew puts it. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. That means that not only will you be taught what to say, the Bible is telling us that in that very moment, it will not even be you speaking. It will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you and speaking in you. And that means that the authority that you speak, you will find that when you have yielded yourself to the Holy Spirit, when you have yielded yourself to God, that there are moments where you might be brought in tough situations. You might not even know what to say at that moment. But if you yield yourself to God, then the Holy Spirit speaks through you. And the Bible says that you shall be taught what to say in that very hour. And not only that, it will not be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, will speak through you, will speak in you. Now, if you continue that, it says, verse 21, now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and a child will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Now he's saying that, remember when Jesus said, I'm putting a sword between families, between brother against brother, between husband against wife, between mother against child. Why? Because when the word of God comes, it brings a division. Why? Because you have to cut away. In case they are not following the right way, you will have to choose the cross. And the cross will mean that at times it might mean separation. But Jesus says that, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And then it says that, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. Now, Jesus is saying it is okay to run. When you're persecuted in this nation or in this city, go to another. And it says, for assuredly, I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. That means that if you're persecuted in one city, leave it, run to another. And Jesus is saying, you will not have finished going through all the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. That means that there are more places that are ready and available to hear the word of God. If you're rejected in one place, dust off your feet and go to another. If you need to run, run, because at that moment, God is preserving you. Why? Because there is more work to be done. The Bible says, when this happens, be sure that the Lord will be speaking through you. Verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple to be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, which means the prince of demons, how much more will they call those of this household? That means Jesus telling them, remember, they called me the prince of demons. They called me that I am casting out demons by the prince of demons. And he says, now, how much more will they be of you, of his household? And this is how God looks at us. Jesus refers to us as his household. We are his family. We are his children. Now he's telling us that if they called the owner of the house, Beelzebub, or the master, how about those of his household? So expect that, but he tells us, verse 26, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. So there is something that we see and learn about God, is that
He teaches us in very critical moments what to say. And I want to assure you that this is not just for preaching. This is not just for defense, you know, of the gospel, but also it might be in your workplace. It might be in a difficult situation with your family. At that very moment, when you yield yourself to God, the Lord shall give you the wisdom, shall give you the words, and shall teach you to say. It might be in an interview. And you are asked a question that you had not prepared for. Take a deep breath and just say, Father, I thank you. And the moment you open your mouth, I assure you, words will be given to you that you will even ask yourself, where did that come from? Be for certain that as a believer, as a child of God, you shall be taught in that very hour what to say. Now let's jump back to Acts chapter 4 and let us see how Peter and John answer the Sanhedrin. And remember, Sanhedrin is the council of the leaders, is the council of the Jewish leaders, the high priest and, you know, and all the Pharisees when they're gathered together, and the scribes. So when they meet together, it is called the Sanhedrin. Now let us read from Acts chapter 4 verse 1. The Bible says, now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. They were being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Now verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? So you can think of how senior this council was. They said that the next day their rulers, elders, scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many who are of the family of the high priest. Think of how serious this was. And I'm thinking this Caiaphas was the same Caiaphas that had been the high priest that had allowed Jesus to be crucified. Now, Annas is the high priest at this point. Now, the Bible says, verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? By what power have you raised a man who was 40 years old, lame from the womb, lame from the mother's womb, to be able to walk? Then the Bible gives us the answer, and this is what we've been saying, that he is taught in that very moment what to say, because it is not him speaking, but it is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Father speaking in him. And I love how it says speaking in him. That means you hear the voice in you. You hear the Holy Spirit speaking directly to you and just telling you, okay, this is what this verse means. This is the next verse you're going to read. This is the next thing you're going to say in your points. As you arrange your points, you will start with this, then you go to this, then you go to this, then you make an appeal. Now, this is the voice of your Father, the Spirit of the of your Father speaking in you. Now, it says, the Bible says, verse 8, Acts chapter 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, say to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." Remember, Jesus is the stone, the chief cornerstone, the stone that has been rejected by the builders, that has become the cornerstone. And maybe just for you, just a small understanding, you know, in their time, they used to build using stones. They were not going to cut them like, or, you know, like the way we make blocks or put them in order. They used to use different kinds of stones. Now, what would happen is that when they were building, there might be a stone that is not used, maybe a small stone, but then the builder will keep it. Why? Even though the stone is not big enough, he will come at the end of the building when the building is about to be completed and put it in the corner, insert it in the holes in the corner, and that stone will become the chief cornerstone or the capstone that keeps it, that keeps the house in order. Though it was rejected at the beginning, but then it becomes the cornerstone. Now, Jesus, the word is telling them through the Holy Spirit that this stone, which was rejected by you builders at the onset, has now become the chief cornerstone. Now, verse 12 says, "Now there is salvation in any other name, nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Look at the wisdom of Peter, and through the Holy Spirit, that's why he's filled by the Holy Spirit, and he tells them, "Be sure for this, we have raised this man by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead. And by him, this man stands here before you." And remember, the high priest, they had paid the soldiers to go and say that the disciples came and stole the body. They knew that Jesus had resurrected because they had the witness of the soldiers. When the angel came, rolled away the stone, remember the Bible tells us they were like dead men. They were shook, and they ran and told, and they were bribed. And they were told, "Okay, if you accept this bribe and you give this lie, then we will keep you safe from the governor." And likewise, now the same high priests are now being confronted with the truth that they had refused. And there is nothing wrong. You know, there is a time that confrontation is important. Why? Especially when someone needs to hear the truth. At times you can confront them with the truth. You confront it in love. Why? Because you know, when I speak the truth with you, it will heal you. It's just like medicine. Medicine at times, many times it is not sweet, but it brings healing. And likewise, now he confronts them and gives them the witness that it is the Jesus that you crucified that is the name by which we have preached. Now, verse 13 tells us, "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Hallelujah. Now, this is trying to tell you something, that if you think of the time of the Israelites, when someone was trained a minimum of at least 20 to 30 years, at least 15 to 20 years, they have gone through training, and they are trained by doctors of the law. Remember someone like Paul, when he was Saul, he was trained as a Pharisee. You know, the Bible says he had been trained under the tutelage. He had of Galileo. He had been trained under, is it Gaius? Yeah, he had been trained under the tutelage, a professor. He had been taught by the law. And likewise, so they knew that these people standing were not in class with us. They are sure these ones, they were not in class with us, because we are the Pharisees. We were taught. We know the schools we went to. We were in the classmates. You know, we were OGs together, old boys, OBs together. we know these ones, they were not with us. They are not trained. They are fishermen. They are uneducated. But you see, when you have the wisdom of God, remember the cases of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were 10 times better than all the magicians, all the enchanters, all the astrologers of the king of Babylon. None was found to have greater wisdom than them. And this is what God does for them that believe in him, for them that are his children. They receive the wisdom of God, that when they open their mouths, then men marvel, men are impressed. And the Bible said, and they concluded, they realized that this man had been with Jesus. Now they had a recognition that yes, we've had our schools of teaching, but there was another teacher that came, and that teacher was Jesus of Nazareth. And we can see this boldness that they have, this speaking that they have of the law, can only be because they had been with Jesus. And I tell you, if you have been with Jesus, you have a difference. You have a difference when you speak before men. You have a difference when you preach to men. You have a difference. Why? Because you have been with Jesus. Anyone that has been with Jesus receives boldness of the Spirit, has boldness of access, has a language. Why? Because they are speaking the language that they are taught by the Spirit. They are speaking the language that Jesus has taught them. The Holy Spirit teaches with them. And verse 14 says, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Why? Because there is evidence. But when they had commanded them to go aside, outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to this man? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Hallelujah. I pray that God will give you notable miracles, notable things that you do that men cannot deny, that they cannot deny that this is the hand of the Lord. This is the work of the Lord. This could not have been done by human effort. This is only done by God. And the Bible says, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Now, verse 18 tells us, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. I tell you, when God steps in, when God steps in through your life, it silences every voice of the enemy, every contrary voice, and there is nothing they can say. There is nothing they can argue with the evidence that God does in our lives, with miracles that science cannot explain. They can argue, you know, over philosophies, but they cannot argue over notable miracles, because all of Jerusalem knew that man, the beggar who would sit by the beautiful gate for 40 years, lame from his mother's womb, made strong, feet strengthened, muscles appeared, perfect soundness. The man is made well, and they are telling you it is by the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I tell you, we have no other victory but by the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that God will give us more insight into this. We know that notable miracles are our portion, and we receive the glory and praise of our Father. May all glory and honor go back to him. I'll stop there. And my brother, you're welcome as God leads you.
Hey, Dr. Manu, no addition from my side.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come forth in power this morning, giving us understanding and giving us a language, giving us a teaching that we are taught in that very hour what to say. I thank you that your spirit is available today to go ahead of us, to give us wisdom, give us grace in interviews, give us grace before donors, give us grace in business, give us grace in our families, give us grace in our children, in every sphere of influence. Teach us in that very hour. Teach us what to say. Teach, speak within us. Let us hear your voice. Indeed, them that have never heard your voice, may they hear your voice in them today for the very first time. And he that is not born again, may they forgive, may you forgive them as they ask for your mercy, and may they enter into your kingdom and see you. And I pray that indeed everything that we do this day is blessed and ordered of you. Your hand, your power, and presence goes ahead of us. Keep and sustain us. Watch over us and strengthen us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed day. God bless.